A lot of opportunities to stay here forever and never leave Rollins. I mean, ever. No, but the great thing is that it shows that, you know, it, just because you graduate, especially in the world we live in today with the interconnectivity, with Facebook,
the economy,
Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, all those little, all those social networking devices that we have, you really can't escape your friends because they will look. And they will find. And they will come.
So do you think that we're getting lonelier, however, with the Facebooks and all that?
In what ways? Like, what do you mean, like, lonelier?
There's a perception that all these people are just around the bend. But, you know, it's that sort of opportunity for instant interaction and expectation that it's always there sort of means that you never actually say, hey, let's get together. Because you're just like, hey, they're just right around the internet byway.
Actually, it's really funny you mentioned this, and I'm going to link this to the commencement speech. I have to admit, folks, I have to eat crow on air today, just a tiny bit. I've been somewhat bad mouthing, or at least highly skeptical of who of the commencement speech. I was very much diminutive. I guess I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if it's going to be bomb diggity. You know, UCF did have Bill Clinton, but James Wright spoke. He is the historian who came. Actually, was brought by the Winter Park Institute to discuss history and the military and how those two intertwine and make up, you know, how that relates to us a few months ago, I believe in March. And he came and actually ended up speaking for graduation. And honestly, he did a very wonderful job kind of tying things together. And one of the things he did mention, he had a lot of words of wisdom, but he emphasized one part in his speech that you can have friends in a chat room, but it's nothing compared to having friends in the living room. And it's a very true fact. I mean, I do agree that with our connectivity, with our ability to be close, I think that there does come a time where we take advantage and it's not as special post-grad. Because back in the day, you know, when you graduated, you really probably weren't going to see these people ever again. When you came back for a reunion,
you're very right.
Yeah, when you came back for a reunion, like, you would really see people changing, because you wouldn't see them for like 10, 15 years, and they'd be like, Johnny got bald and Jenny got pregnant, just assuming scenarios here.
Those are the only things that happen to people.
Okay, oh, no. Jacqueline could have gotten a new hair color. I don't know. But I'm just saying that now, I mean, I can track...
You're so superficial.
I mean, you know. I can track my friends' progress from middle school. People that I've known since sixth grade. And now I see them and, you know, yes, there have been big changes and they're completely different. And I wonder, does that take away a little bit from the shock value from, like, when I come back to my high school graduation in 10 years or 15 years or whatever? And but James Wright, he did bring up a lot of interesting things like that. He discussed how the time had labeled this generation, especially this class, as being hopeless narcissist.
Who said that?
James Wright. It was from The Time. He was Time Magazine. He was quoting from.
Okay.
Or it was, but he was joking around in that, saying that other generations have been labeled in such a manner, and he doesn't think that that's necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily that bad.
There are worse things than being hopeless
narcissistic. I think, though, one of the more important things of his speech was emphasizing that right from the get-go, there are only so many ways to say to seniors or people who are graduating that congratulations, one, and two, to reassure them that although the world may seem difficult, there's still hope and opportunity to excel postgraduate, postgrad, whatever that may be. And it's right. I think that a lot of times every generation will say, or at least they'll perceive that postgrad, it's difficult. You know, the living opportunities, life opportunities, things are just never ideal. And you always worry that, will I be able to succeed? Will I be able to find a job in my major or find a job, period? Will I enjoy what I do, what I love? And will I find happiness? Will I find love? Will I be able to stay connected with my friends? Will I have children? The 2.5 designated for...
The big questions.
The big questions. So I think that in the end, it's really... In a graduation speech, you want to typify those sentiments. You want to uplift. You want to excite. And you want that at the end... the graduates and people in attendance to feel uplifted. And I feel like that James Wright did a really good job about that. So I am bowing down, and I am saying that the 2013 commencement speaker,
he brung it.
It was brought, and I say congratulations. And in general, just congratulations to the class of 2013. We both have friends in that class, and I just want to say I love you guys. Congratulations again. I know you guys are going to do great things, and Fiat Lux.
Fiat Lux. All right, we've got another song before we continue. This is John Lennon with Be My Baby. feel as though we must break this news to our audience. So, where'd you get this from?
This is on HuffPo, Huffington Post, because I love HuffPo, regardless of political slant. It's very colorful. It is very colorful.
Very blue? What?
all the colors. But yes, breaking story developing, 24 has just officially announced, no, Fox has officially announced that 24 is returning. With Kiefer Sutherland on board, they just canceled. It's kind of funny. They canceled his show Touch, which just ended its second season. They are replacing it with 24. They announced. EW or Entertainment Weekly reported Friday that Fox was eyeing a 13-episode season for the new 24 season, and Fox's entertainment chairman Kevin Riley confirmed in a press call Monday morning that 24 compressed over 12 weeks, Jack is back.
Wait. So, how many episodes did you say?
13.
13.
Over 12
24.
Weeks.
So, that doesn't sound like 24.
I'm guessing
the show has been subverted.
I am assuming that it's probably one of those
assumptions
episodes.
Don't get us to 24.
All I am saying, one of those 13 episodes, plus assumptions. One of those episodes is probably going to be a double. It's going to be like a back to back.
Those episodes. Okay. They were doing back to back episodes when it was 24-24.
Okay.
24-24s.
24-24s. Well, you know what they are. They're trying to do this tentatively. They want to make sure that. If it doesn't go well, but that's the thing. This isn't necessarily the newest of trends. I mean, Family Guy,
right? Fox
famously came back.
Fox has a history of canceling shows
that are really good,
and then only now are they realizing that they should be bringing them back.
Great,
Family Guy,
Arrested Development, another example coming out at the end of the month,
which they're not bringing back.
They're not bringing back Netflix.
Whole nother, yes,
which is ridiculous because arguably one of the best shows that Fox ever put out.
Yeah.
Ever, honestly,
right.
Besides The Simpsons. I mean, there's a few others, but I mean, like, on the track record that is Fox, I'm sorry, I just have to look at that 80s show and just nod my head. Just know, all the wrong.
I think Glenn Howerton was in that show, who's in Sunny now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Fun. But yes, as we were saying, tangent. It's crazy. I mean, I was just reading this story, and we were both kind of looking at each other like, what?
Yeah.
This is a thing?
24.
But it's a thing, you know? And hey, it's great to hear the star of the show is interested in it. That's always key. You know, it's always hard to bring a show back, and it's like, some of the original cast is, and then the star gets replaced by somebody else, and it's just
he was going to get replaced by Kurt Russell or something.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
He's around. He's a thing.
Who's that Christian Slater guy doing a TV show?
Yeah.
Or they just could have promoted, what's his face? Freddie Prinze Jr., who was in one of the last seasons.
Freddie Prinze!
He could have been the star.
You know, I'm going to say I missed you, Freddie. I know you and Sarah Michelle Gellar probably have a wonderful life together, and there's no reason for you to come back to television. But if you ever do, I just want to let you know, she's all that. Touch my heart. Classic 90s cinema, Greg.
Sure.
But there's a lot of really cool things going on in televisions.
So, this whole 24 thing that we're still talking about.
24.
No, we're still talking about it.
Yeah, we are. Let's go.
There's also talk. There's been talk in the past that they would be doing a movie.
Yeah, that was always a thing.
Yeah, which, how is that even 24? That's like 2.4 at the most.
They could do it where they could have a 24-hour movie.
Ooh.
That would be fun to watch.
Avant-garde.
That could be very
something.
Avant.
You
could like make it like a 24-hour-long movie.
Yeah.
That could be
and
fun.
And you just have to act like the characters and not eat or go to the bathroom or anything throughout the entire 24 hours.
Well, then you really feel like Jack. I feel like that would be...
It'd be
like,
so immersive.
You know, like, you know how, like, sometimes in movies, like, or live theater, really, let's say, like, they want to make you feel the oppression and struggle, so, like, they run at you, And they make they degrade
call people
you
up on stage and
call you
start
up on
hitting
stage
them
and start. Oh, that isn't.
I don't think that
does
happen. No.
And I went to some weird theaters. Anyways, but no, I think that's very. I mean, I think it's cool. I'm all about bringing back the shows. If we were going to bring back a show, folks, and this is my public plea. This is my plea.
Let's hear it.
I have a plea for two shows.
Okay.
Really. Either we get one more season, good season, mind you, of Roseanne.
Okay.
Because John Goodman's on a fire streak, and Roseanne Barr probably wouldn't mind another check.
Right.
To be quite frank.
Wait, she's not the president?
What? Oh, no. I totally thought she and Cindy Sheehan as vice president would totally get elected. But I thank God this oversight can be remedied with some good, as in another season of Roseanne.
Right. A, so that's wish list item A.
If this is not a possibility, because I understand that they're both very busy people, Joan of Arcadia. Anybody remember that quaint little show called Joan of Arcadia, folks, that had only a couple of seasons and then was unceremoniously canceled on a cliffhanger, mind you? I hate that. Don't cliffhanger me at the end of a season and
right.
then cancel the show without any follow-up, any background, not even one episode to kind of tie it all together. Nah.
What's up with that?
CBS. Bring back Joan. Anyways, that's my one little... I'm going to get off my soapbox. But
yeah,
I'm just saying, if we're bringing back shows...
I'll have to put that in the back of my brain, what my top show to bring back would be. Because it's not coming to the forefront of my brain right now. But in the meantime,
let's talk about...
Well, there's like some other mediums in which shows are getting produced now. Of course, there has been this route of not only Fox bringing back its own shows, but other entities bringing back Fox shows, like Futurama.
Fox is losing everything.
Right, Comedy Central brought Futurama back. Now Arrested Development is getting brought back by Netflix.
Although, to be fair, it isn't just Fox. TBS brought back Cougar Town.
You're right, they did. Which I hear is a good show, but
it
has such an unfortunate name.
Well, I mean, it's funny. It's a play. Oh, haha, jokes. Of all shows, really, TBS. I didn't think TBS had that much clout to bring back a show.
Okay, I thought of it.
Okay.
I would want to bring back Sports Show with Norm Macdonald, which was my favorite. It was the perfect show vehicle for Norm. I cannot get enough of sports humor because it is just fringe enough to be.
It's avant-garde, folks. It's a little, it is as avant-garde as you can get.
Such a good show.
Because, folks, when you think of two communities that very rarely come together, the sports community and the arts community, well, you can bridge that gap.
Well, I appreciate that you are considering Norm and Norm's shows an art.
It is an
because,
art.
Yeah, they
are
funny.
Art. He was really funny. Yeah.
No, he is really funny.
He is.
He's doing Norm Macdonald live now.
Present
he had
tense.
Larry King on this podcast he just started.
Uh-huh.
Was amazing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Fine.
You have to watch it.
I can't wait. So,
it's on
again,
YouTube.
Tangent, speaking of podcasts, if you ever get the time, Kevin Smith has many a podcast. Amazing.
Yeah, what does he do all day? Records podcasts.
He records podcasts. It's called Smodcast. Because Smith.
Okay.
Smod. He is quite a hilarious bunny. Well, bear.
Bunny.
Maybe that's more. Because he's rotund. Like me, it's fine because we're both rotund men. And I love watching it. I love listening to his podcast. And I love watching his live Q&A's or his, you know, his recorded
those,
Q&A's. So funny. Actually,
those are good.
He's coming in July, I believe. July 5th. I will be there. Fingers crossed with
Hello.
My brother. That'll be
Where's
fun.
Where's that?
It'll be at the Plaza, I believe.
Oh, okay, so that's just a ticketed event?
It's a ticketed event. What he's doing, he's playing his new animated movie, Jay and Silent Bob, super groovy cartoon movie.
Okay.
Which is somewhat, it follows, I believe, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's a second, that's that sequel. And it kind of follows, obviously, Jay and Silent Bob, but like in a cartoon version. So I'm very excited about that. And the reason why I love it is that he's also recording a podcast after the show and doing a Q&A.
Okay,
which
so
is
this is
so cool. And So I don't know how we got to this tangent. We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about old TV shows we want to bring back.
Yes.
Also, to tie it back together. Kevin Smith is doing Clerks 3.
Okay.
That is going to be... There was some talk about what was his final film going to be. He had been talking
final
a while
film.
About... Yeah, retiring and kind of ending his career. It's a thing. People like to retire.
And just
wants to spend podcast time.
Into the sunset.
Hey, I would not mind another 40 years of Kevin Smith's podcasts.
Sure.
About comics, with his wife, just in general... I want Kevin Smith, if I could, I would want him to comment about every major life event that occurs. I would want him to talk about Benghazi and Libya.
Oh, so you just want him to do the news.
Oh, not just the, I mean, everything. I mean, I want him to talk about, Tara Reid. I don't know what's going on with her life. Random celebrity that I'm just gonna pick up that 2000 starlet. I want him to talk about the energy crisis. Mm-hmm. I want him to talk about the financial situation because he just can make anything seem just like layman and funny and mm-hmm. like can really liven up spirits and just be like, I can sit there and be like, yes, Kevin Smith, I'm very much interested in dividends. For instance,
how's the Dow doing, Kevin Smith?
Well, it's not going good to me. It's not going good.
Okay, so let's circle on back.
Let's
turn this wagon around. No, not there yet.
Darn.
Remember, we were talking about Netflix.
Wagons, Netflix.
Yeah, how they're bringing back Arrested Development. They are beginning to produce some original content, otherwise
cards.
On their own. Yeah,
I've been hearing that's amazing.
I've watched a few episodes. It is very, very good.
Really?
Yes.
Then I'm going to start watching it. I hear Kevin Spacey is legit.
Yeah, as Eddie Huang said, the Southern accent's really going to freak you out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, to be fair, he did have a Southern accent in, Time to Kill. The one with where it's Samuel L. Jackson, Sandra Bullock, Matthew McConaughey. He plays the prosecutor.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I've only seen Eric Keevan's play.
No, I am talking about the film, the 1990 film. But yes, our friend Eric Keevan did direct. He made a play. He made a theater. I'm sorry, I'm blanking. He created a play called A Time to Kill.
He added an article to it.
Wait, let me see.
He added Time to Kill.
I'm trying to see which one's which.
I think he said Time to Kill.
He took off the article.
Ooh.
So the movie is called A Time to Kill.
Right.
Release date, July 24th, 1996.
Anyway.
Online. But then his show was called Time to Kill.
Yes.
So people got legitimately confused. Not many people. But he told me of a story of where he's... A student had to review a movie, had to review A Time to Kill. Eric's show. He had to review Eric's show, and instead he just watched the movie, the 1996 movie.
What?
And the teacher was like, this is nothing. This has nothing to do. And if you've ever seen two forms of media, they're completely different. Like, only slightly similar because it involves going to jail. That's it. That is
yes.
the only similarity.
Between the, what did you say, 1996
two.
Movie?
1996 movie.
And the one-act play.
Written
and directed by.
By.
Now, Rollins, now alum.
Alum.
Eric Keevan.
Keevan.
Okay, circling back again.
Yes.
doubling back.
Yay.
We were talking about House of Cards. And I think it's one of the most interesting things is that just the progression of visual media in that film, of course, you know, from its beginning was on a big screen, you know, and then they start producing for TV, which is a small screen, and now Netflix is producing for arguably the smallest screen, you know, so
an
many
iPad
people.
iPad is pretty small.
Yeah, iPads, laptops.
iPods, that is the smallest screen.
Right, but just that
well,
it's
Oliver Stone, you were there. Mm-hmm. He was, during his speech, he was not for the YouTube Netflix sensation. Mm-hmm. He is very, I mean, he's very much a purist when it comes to film.
Yeah.
Which some might find elitist, some might find academic. It depends on how you look at it.
But he cares about his light bulbs.
But he cares.
He cares about his light bulbs.
So, tangent, again, I'm sorry, folks, we're getting on many tangents. During the speech, he's talking about movie theaters and going and seeing a movie in a theater, the amazing experience it is. And he talks about how the minute details, like the light bulbs just not being replaced and it affecting his movie experience.
Like, these theater managers pay so much for the projectors, but they don't get the right light bulbs.
And he literally said something along the lines of, like, I hope, like, it should be a crime against humanity.
Something like that.
Along those lines.
It was,
and just like, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to this profound director of our time, writer. He wrote Scarface, and I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, dude, you're cuckoo bananas, but I love you. I don't want to be you because I don't want to be crazy, but I would like to absorb some of your artistic juices, your ingenue, your I don't know, your aura. That aura, I want that aura to envelop me, but I don't want to be you because you're crazy. Because he's crazy. Oliver Stone
that was
crazy.
A fun moment. But okay, so the smallest screens, and now not only Netflix but Amazon is making a show. What'd you just learn about Amazon's?
I found out, they actually starting. I think it's now. I think it was April 19th when the story came out. So I still hope it's still going on. You can stream 14 new pilot episodes created by Amazon Studios. And actually, you can... Amazon wants web users to vote on which ones the company should turn into full season-long shows of about 13 episodes. Again, magic number. Which will then only be available through Amazon Prime. But one thing is certain: not all the new pilots will make it into show. Will make it into shows. and then it just talks about some of the ones that it's being talked about. I'm trying to find a list of them. I don't have a list here. I'm gonna go find. But some of them include the top picture that really screamed at me was a dining room setting. With John Goodman in a suit, and I got super excited. It's like, is this the Roseanne reboot that we've all been looking for? And unfortunately, no, it's not.
The gritty reboot of Roseanne.
Although I will say, anything with Jonathan Goodman in it is pretty much guaranteed.
He's good.
I still want to.
He's a good indicator of good
he
media,
is. Huh? Argo. The Emperor's New Groove. I heard Tremé was a really great series.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
the Artist.
The Artist, and he was silent, folks. He was
talk
silent.
About a strong actor.
He is a strong actor who his voice alone can just emote different types of emotions and.
Oh brother, where art thou?
Oh brother, where art thou?
He's going to be in the next Hangover movie. We'll see if it's good.
Hey, and arguably one of his most famous movie roles, The Big Lebowski.
Who could forget that?
Who could forget that?
I almost forgot it, but
I remember for you. It's all right.
Thank you.
So, again, another personal plea out there, Jonathan Goodman.
So not only are stars going from the big screen to the small screen with TV,
but they're going to the even
the smallest screen. The big screen to the smallest screen.
Which some would argue is quite, is, I don't know, daring. What does it say? It's daring.
Because he could be like the pioneer of
the smallest
screen, just like Kevin Spacey. I mean, going to the smallest screen. He bypassed the small screen.
Well, and there's a good way to do it. There's a good way to do it, and there's always a disastrous way. For instance, excuse me, Clint Eastwood had his wife and his daughters recently had that reality show on E, and I'm just sitting there. Yeah, it was Miss Eastwood and Company.
Mm.
It wasn't necessarily focused on Clint specifically, although he was featured in the show from time to time. I'm just sitting there, and I'm going, what's going on, Mr. Eastwood? I know this show isn't focused specifically on you, but like, if I wanted to see you on TV, I wanted you to see in a more enigmatic position.
Okay, well, that's another distinction that's good to differentiate, to point out. There's a good side to the small screen, which HBO, you could see Kevin Spacey, Dustin Hoffman, anyone being in an HBO show.
Oh, because HBO is that premier echelon. Like, uh-huh. It's like, and, you know, at one time it was seen HBO and Cinemax and them were just like, haha.
Smut.
Like, we all know, smut, like, we all know why you're ordering this. But now it's become, with the success of shows like 6 Feet Under, Sopranos,
Curb Your Enthusiasm,
Entourage,
you know.
I mean, shows that are really wonderful and are allowed to be gritty and allowed to go that extra mm-hmm. mile because they aren't worried. They don't have to worry about the FCC or whatnot. Or
and now with Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, like, yeah. Amazing shows. And that's why, and you know, they have to be, have really amazing content for people to pay that extra $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite shows, unfortunately, that isn't on Netflix because HBO and Netflix aren't, I don't know, they're not, they're, they don't do
right, because
together.
Of the HBO Go.
The Newsroom.
The Newsroom.
I love The Newsroom, and I've been trying to catch as many episodes as possible. Jeff Daniels, amazing actor, and you think, oh, isn't he the guy from just Dumb and Dumber? He's more than just the guy from Dumb and Dumber, folks. And I love it, and the first season's coming out in about a month, and I'm going to be buying that so I can watch the rest of the episodes, and I'm going to have to somehow find a way to see the second season. But again, it goes to show quality shows. If you want people to buy your product, you have to give them good content, and that comes with amazing actors, amazing writing, and kind of doing something that's out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, shows, companies like ABC, CBS, NBC, you know, there was a time where even if you didn't have cable, you had those three shows in public access. Like, you could access those through an antenna.
Yeah.
Now it's completely different. We don't have antenna things and whatnot, and you have to get, like, cable boxes. So, but but there was a time where, like, you know, they were the only game in town, so they could kind of play whatever they want. And obviously they would try to have really good content, solid content, but unfortunately it comes down to, at least this day and age, if they can't charge the highest dollar from advertisers at that time slot, they are more inclined to cancel said show without really having to tie up anything, just recoup their losses and try and put in something new that'll garner revenue. And that's kind of the name of the game, unfortunately. So it's great that when there are, it just shows that when you change your business model, like an HBO or Showtime, and where, like, look, we aren't having advertisements, we're just trying to show quality entertainment, we're going to have movies that are you can't see on network television, we're going to do special deals with the studios, we are going to have amazing original content that is worth watching, and you're going to want to pay for it because it is a superior product than stuff you can get for free. Yeah, you can get NBC for free. Yeah, you can watch CBS. But do you really want to watch Cougar Town?
Well, that's on TBS now.
Well, I mean, that's on TBS again. It's, you know, it's on. Do you really want? Okay, do you really want to watch what? Give me a show.
The Big Bang Theory is on CBS. People like it.
That's a good show.
It's the only
one I can think of. Do you want to watch The Cleveland Show? Right. Okay, but
I've never seen it.
Do you want to watch some show that replays the same drivel plot over and over and over again? Or do you want to watch something that our whole business model, our whole survival technique is to make sure that it is good and it's something worth watching every single week. And we will give you the show as long as you want because our network is literally audience-driven.
Right. And so it looks like Netflix is just going right out of the gate, trying to set that quality standard. The other new series that they're doing in between House of Cards and Arrested Development is Hemlock Grove, which is an Eli Roth produced, possibly directed show in the horror vein. Will probably be, you know, along the lines of an American Horror Story sort of thing, but he being a pretty prominent horror director at this time, and also one of the actors in Inglourious Basterds. And
amazing. Amazing.
So interesting model that they're able to really try to grab out of the gates.
So we have about 7 minutes left of the show.
Let's get into some summer movies.
Summer movies, folks. Summer
this,
movies.
This will be a continuing thing. We do have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about.
One thing we both did see already was Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3! Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. It was the first summer movie that came out, and arguably an amazing start to the summer season. I know I'm gushing a little bit. I was actually never really huge on the Iron Man series. It was never one of my... Like, I was more so into Batman. I loved Batman. Mm-hmm. And
The Dark Knight movies.
The Dark Knight movies, yes. The Dark Knight movies especially. As a child, I really enjoyed Spider-Man. So, like, the first... You know, mm-hmm. Spider-Man movie was great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as it progressed, it wasn't as great.
The second one, I really liked.
Yeah, the third one...
No.
I don't like emo Spider-Man. But all those jokes, I mean, have been made before. But, you know, superhero movies really fluctuate. No matter what anybody has said, I still love the X-Men series. I don't care what anybody said about...
Besides the third one.
Yeah. I mean, I forgave the third one. I will forgive the third one. But they've done an amazing job with the series as a whole.
Well, now the sort of prequel.
The first class prequel. They did the Wolverine spinoff.
And now they're doing the Wolverine another movie comes out this summer.
They're going to be a second one. Because there's like, it's Wolverine. Obviously, that came out a few years ago. And then there's this one. I don't know if it's like a complete...
I don't know. Let's just talk about Iron Man. We have enough time to squeeze that in.
Iron Man 3. We're not going to give any spoilers away.
No spoilers.
But Ben Kingsley, Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, amazing. Don Cheadle. Ben Kingsley just plays such a good villain. And he is just such a good actor in general. But the way the movie progresses and whatnot, you just kind of sit there and you're just like, this is why Ben Kingsley is one of the greatest thespians of our time. I mean, one of the top thespians. Like, just I'm sitting in this movie theater and I'm going, I can't believe what I'm watching. It's gold.
He is very, very good. And again, no spoilers. But the people who I've talked to who have been disappointed about it are making their claims based on it not following traditional storylines in the Iron Man series, sort of taking things in an artistic direction. And then just my short spiel about why I'm okay with that in these movies is that even in the comic books you have several different arcs, well, not only different arcs, but different series themselves where you have, okay, in this one, Spider-Man is Peter Parker. In this one, he's actually a different person. And so the way in which, even in the comic books themselves, you have different artists doing their interpretation of the stories, I think that it's fair that the film directors can have their own versions of the stories. And now with Spider-Man getting rebooted and, of course, the different Batman movies that have come out.
Which were fantastic. It's
but, like, those compared to the 90s ones. There's different series. Even those are just different directors' interpretations. Just like you have the different comic book coming out.
That's the thing. It's that you can always look at... I mean, again, Batman is the greatest example because it is something that has gone on for many generations, and each director has had their own interpretation, and there's the, you know, more playful, more whimsical versus obviously this one is the most serious Batman we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes to show that, you know, it's very difficult to bridge the comic book audience, which is very ardent and very...
Right. I think that just part of the problem is that people see a film version of anything as the definition. But still, there's so much going on in the creative process that you have to give them some wiggle room.
Exactly.
And that's why remakes, to a certain extent, I'm okay with. Not when it's just like, hey, let's take this concept that made an okay grossing movie in the 80s and throw it back out there.
Exactly.
I don't like that. But,
no, but
when it's like The Great Gatsby, like... Okay, we've had, like, Robert Redford's version, now we have the Lerman version.
Baz Luhrmann. He did Moulin Rouge as well.
Right. Why did it sound like that was the guy's name for the sunscreen thing?
Because it was.
Why?
Baz Luhrmann actually, he was asked to do a spoken word. To wear sunscreen is actually an article that was written many years ago by a woman who was actually giving her advice about, like, to graduates.
Yes.
And what they did was they actually, Baz Luhrmann just, I don't know if he decided, but people decided to actually record that as him kind of just speaking it. And it was originally just a spoken word thing, which was really cool. And then a remix came out with Everybody's Free, which is a song, and they kind of merged the two together. So it's Baz Luhrmann saying this woman's article, but then it's also mixed with Everybody's Free. So yes, Baz Luhrmann, he is not a singer, because he doesn't sing the song,
right.
But he is, yeah, that is the same person.
Okay. I do want to go back to Iron Man for a couple of more points.
Go for it.
I think it's really interesting how they continued a theme from the first movie on terrorism in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty fascinating turn.
And again, bringing it back together, yeah.
Yes. And I'm trying to not to spoil anything, so it's tough to talk about.
What we will say is that it is very, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the whole idea of Iron Man and his lifeblood is that arc. I can't remember the actual name of the...
Sure, the thing in his chest.
The thing in his chest, it's a circle. So it is a metaphor, I guess, for things kind of coming together, and that's kind of what the whole series has done. I'm trying to be poignant.
Oh, okay, and the ring motif, the snake eating itself.
Yeah, so it's the idea of, like, coming back full circle. So obviously this third Iron Man, it's been reported it is the last, and I very much
probably,
believe it is.
Yeah.
It is, but that's the whole point, is that it all comes together.
Right.
So really quick, because we're almost out of time.
Bordering
on out of time. I am very excited for the new Star Trek.
Oh, we should probably cover the rest of the movies another time.
Yes.
Let's just finish out on what we're talking about.
Okay. No, I was just saying in general, folks.
Oh, sure. Just general note.
Well, because it's coming out on Friday. That's why.
Oh.
That's why I mentioned it. I wasn't going to be like, I'm excited for so-and-so. Comes out in 2 months, folks. No, but yes. Superhero movies. Iron Man, specifically. I just thought it was really good.
But it's mostly been about, like, international threats to America and the sort of personification of our own defenses and our own military might in this one person, you know, and in the suit, in the character sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's very, very timely in the sort of... you know, liberties versus securities.
And it goes, like, for instance, the drone debate.
The who?
Drones.
Oh, the drone, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And even that was, in a way, touched upon, not in a real way, but with all of his suits and stuff.
Exactly. And it's somewhat near, you know, yeah. So, again, not spoiling it. It makes more sense when you watch it. But, yeah, it's... I think in the end what it does is that it's a Iron Man is a more literal commentary on the military-industrial complex.
There we go.
And you see that, and you see kind of very much that all coming together at the end of the movie, and you know, you feel, I believe at the end that there is, it's a mix of pure entertainment. You know, there's that whole like popcorn film aspect where it's just explosions and there's fighting, and yes, that is very much there. But also, there's a very amazing message that kind of comes out of it that kind of brings, again, not only the whole film together, but it also makes you go like, wow, like I feel completed. Like I feel this was a wonderful movie to end. I mean, this is a wonderful film to end the series on. I feel completed. It was a great story. It kind of ties all the characters together. You really feel like there's been growth in all the characters, and you feel like there's been this, you know, which you want to see in a series. You want to see in, you know, over films. Ideally, there is a growth. There is a change. You followed the series for the last few years, and it was a great way to end things off.
And then, what about the like pre-credit finish?
Post-credit?
The like sort of 80s.
Oh,
that
yes.
Was amazing. That just made me want to watch the movie again, even though I didn't love it.
Again.
But it, what a good commercial just for the entire series.
So good.
Just.
So good. And also, stay after the credits, folks. Again, not another spoiler. It's not like crazy, like, oh my god, learning
like
about
the previews that have come in the previous Marvel movies.
But it's still a really funny scene, so definitely check it out.
I actually forgot to stick around. I've stuck
really
around
good.
For every Marvel
it was
movie,
good.
But
I mean,
yeah.
it wasn't like, oh my god, like I learned so much, like I learned something new, but it was really good.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we have way past our time. Not way past.
Past our bedtime.
We could talk on hours about movies. I know I've tried to.
We'll revisit the subject.
Oh, we will. Look, we have a whole summer. We'll actually talk about Rollins during the summer.
Yes.
Next week. And we'll talk about more movies.
I'll be gone, though.
I'll be able to talk.
For the next 2 weeks.
I will be talking by myself. Greg. I will be talking about all these things, movies and whatnot. And it'll be great. So, I'm Amir Sadeh.
And I'm Greg Golden.
Sands per hour.
Yeah, sands per hour. See you on the other side.
See you guys.